grace and peace to each of you that I have not had a chance to say good morning. And thank you for coming today and being a part of our service. And thank all of those who have gone before me to prepare our hearts and our minds in breaking the bread of life with God's word. I have seen several of you this morning and said, pray with me so that I don't break down in this pulpit this morning. So thank you for those who are praying. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to your word with many questions. Like the Pharisees, we can be captivated by the correctness and intent on right answers. As we turn to your word, Holy Spirit, do not let our desire for information dominate our need for transformation. Let us hear the word and be moved to greater faith and obedience. Amen. Hear the holy inspired word of God from the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 3 and 11b through 32. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. Then Jesus said, "There was a man with two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property to dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will fill up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fattest calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he had got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours come back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But he had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is the word of the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, some of our staff members sat around and talked about our lost stories. And I wish you could have been there. We laughed and had such fun about the times that we were lost. I want to share with you some humor this morning about being lost. I'm told it's a true story. Back in the 50s in southwest Nova Scotia, the roads were not very good and the fog was always very thick, which made driving difficult for even the best drivers. My father at 17 was in the Canadian Navy. He took in too many spirits and got into a fight and landed himself in jail. The jail was about an hour's drive from where my grandparents live. They got word of what happened and set out to pick him up. On their way home, it got dark and the fog was ever so thick. My grandfather was not a good driver at the best of times, and the conditions on this night drove his anxiety through the roof. He had a death grip on the steering wheel with white knuckles that my dad said illuminated the interior of the car. He had been following a larger vehicle for about 30 minutes with nowhere to pass, and the leading vehicle was going quite slow. Eventually, the vehicle he was following stopped and just sat there. My grandfather, in his angry voice, said to my grandmother, I can't believe that this person just stopped in the middle of the road. To which my grandmother responded, Ephraim, the man is in his driveway. Being lost. We have before us today a very familiar text. And it is my guess that if I ask you to retell the story, you will be able to recite it from the beginning to the end. But just like rewatching the movies we often see, we see things we did not see before when we take a second look. As we revisit the parable of the prodigal son, it is my hope that the light of the Holy Spirit will shine and open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to something that was not revealed to us before. It is one of three parables where the theme is lost and found. Jesus is addressing the story to the Pharisees and the scribes who obeyed the Jewish system of laws and held themselves in high regard for doing so. They did not associate with anyone they considered to be sinners. As you would expect, they regarded Jesus with contempt for his association with tax collectors and those they considered to be sinners. This parable is addressed to the Pharisees, and I believe also to us. Jesus begins the story. There was a man with two sons. Of the three characters in this story, let us look at the younger son. I will refer to him as the younger son who strayed. He goes to his father with actions that are unimaginable for an upstanding Jewish family. His gross actions essentially said to his father, you are dead to me. Give me what's coming to me. I'm out of here. Wow, even saying these words out loud feels hurtful. He asked for his inheritance before his father's death. This insult was not only felt by his father, but by his family and his community. Despite the insult, the father gives the younger son his share of the family property. The younger son strays off to some first century Las Vegas type city. He loses, he splurges, he throws away. The scripture says he squanders all of his inheritance. He ends up eating beans and mush alongside the hogs. While in the hog pen, Luke 14:17 says he came to his senses. He had a metanoia experience. Metanoia is a Greek word which means he had a transformational change of heart, spiritual experience that resulted in a conversion, a change in how he saw things. This experience came when he hit the bottom. No one I know will willingly go to the bottom, but sometimes if we survive it, it can be some of our strongest teachings. This decline seemed to have taken place little by little. It's like telling a little lie, then telling another lie to cover up that lie. And then another, and before you know it, it's not just a lie, but it's thievery, the thief of truth. I believe he recognized his sinful state before his bottom experience. Yes. His state of being lost brought on by his own lust, greed, and arrogance. It is at his bottom that he decides to return home. Even if his father would not take him back as a son and instead treats him like a hired hand, it would still be better than eating with the hogs. We could learn much from the younger son who strayed away from home. Admit it or not, we may not like the younger son, but many of us have had a prodigal experience. But this is not the end of the story. So this story is not just about the prodigal son who strayed. It is about the son who stayed. The older brother, who did all the right things, who never asked for a thing, was ever dutiful, ever dependable, the son of every parent's dream and every younger sibling's nightmares. He had not insulted his father. He had not shot his inheritance on good times. He slaved away day after day, year after year, and he says his father never even tossed him a goat party. He is mad. He will not set foot in the big welcoming party that the father planned for the younger son. No, we don't approve of his temper tantrum. We might question how accurately he portrayed his kid brother as wasting his inheritance on prostitutes. Yet, there's no denying that many of us feel for him. We who never had the heart to treat our fathers as the younger brother did. While the younger son recognized his sins, the older son did not see the self-pride and satisfaction, jealousy, anger, self-righteousness he owned. But this is not the end of the story. This is Women's History Month, and in my research, I ran across a story that relates to the oldest son's story. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, later she's Secretary of State, told the story on August 4th, 2002. In a Sunday school class at National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. She says, "Although I never doubted the existence of God, I think like all people, I have some ups and downs in my faith. When I first moved to California in 1981 to join the faculty at Stanford, there were a lot of years when I was not attending church regularly. I was a specialist in international politics, so I was always traveling. One Sunday morning, I went to Menlo Park Presbyterian Church in Palo Alto. The minister that Sunday morning gave a sermon I will never quite forget. It was about the prodigal son from the point of view of the elder son. It set the elder son up not as somebody who had done all the right things, but as somebody who had become self-satisfied. A parable about self-satisfaction and contentment and complacency and faith. And that people who didn't somehow expect themselves to need to be born again can be complacent. I started to think of myself as that elder son who had never doubted the existence of God, but wasn't really walking in faith in an active way anymore. I started to become more active with the church, to go to Bible study, and to have a more active prayer life. It was very important. It was a very important turning point in my life. It seems the Secretary of State had a metanoia experience. It is easy to see the sin of the younger brother, but the older brother does not seem so clear. Looking closely, we see he considers the work he's been doing in his father's household as an act of slaving rather than the natural act of being a loving son. He stressed the fact that he never disobeyed his father's orders, rather than describing how his actions was out of love for his father. He was unconscious that he had all along the greatest reward of all, the gift of his father's presence and love. Plus, the older son, by Jewish law, would receive a double portion of what his younger brother received, which, after all, was what his father had left. Truthfully, as the scripture says, all of what the father owned would be his. A few weeks ago, I shared with some friends that one of the greatest gifts that someone could give to another person is the gift of kindness. And by the way, the gift of kindness doesn't cost you anything. Yes, kindness from the heart. If kindness is rendered to someone in order to get something in return, then it is simply manipulation. Both sons were primarily interested in dad for what he could be manipulated into giving them. The only difference was their strategy. The younger son attempted to get dad's stuff by being bad, and the older son tried to get his dad's stuff by being good. Both sons were lost. We see clearly the sins of the younger brother, but we are often blinded by the sins of the elder brother. There are many elder brothers and elder sisters among us. But this is not the end of the story. You see, the third and final character in the story is the loving and forgiving father. Ultimately, Jesus' parable is about the father. In seeing this story again, I see different kinds of scandalous things. I see a father who lifts up his robe and runs without shame to welcome his wayward son home. What scandalous love. I see a forgiving father who says, yes, you broke some important rules, but you are welcome in my kingdom. And while you may want mercy, I offer you far more than you deserve. Scandalous grace. I see a father filled with delight as he's welcomed his son back home with robe, rings, sandals, and meat. So much delight that he welcomes his family and community to rejoice with him. What scandalous joy. I see a father who cared about repairing relationships with members of his family and his community. What scandalous reconciliation and restoration. I see a father where there is no famine, no recession, no inflation, for all of what he owns, he gives to me. Scandalous providence. And while we're on this journey together this Lenten season, I see a man called Jesus on the way to Calvary who was innocent of all wrongdoing but was found guilty. He was put to death, but rose again for you and for me, so that we may have eternal life. If this isn't scandalous, I don't know what it is. The gift of salvation and eternal life. Pastor, you ask, well, what is the end of the story? I say there is no end to the story, for there will always be a younger son and an older brother who are lost and needing to be found. Yes, indeed, needing God. I also hope you see that there is no end to God's love. There is no end to God's joy. There is no end to God's mercy. There is no end to God's restoration. And there is no end to God's amazing grace. My friends and my family, my New Providence Church family, I thank you for this wonderful journey that has been placed in me, that I passed across, and that I'm here with you and celebrating our journey. Thank you. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.